Hey everyone, it's Todd. Just in case you missed it, I've been doing these live shows on Fridays, and you can check them out by going to getvocal.206geek.com. That's getvocal.206geek.com. They're live on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern, and they get saved there on the website. And they also get simulcast on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. So if you're already following the podcast, you should be able to find the videos there. But if you want to be a part of the live show, you can by going to getvocal.206geek.com on Fridays at 4 p.m. Pacific. It's getvocal.206geek.com. And if you're not able to because of work and or other obligations, it's okay. You can check out the recorded episode on the same site. They're going to be there in the previous episodes or past episodes. I don't know if I'll ever post those episodes here, although I might. So stay tuned and check it out on Fridays, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 Eastern.
We should, like, go and, like, hang out with Todd.
Whoa. It's Todd.
Yeah.
Todd's even cooler than we thought.
Boys, I'm looking for a fella who goes by the name of Todd.
Oh, yeah. He's cool.
Todd would make, like, a good manager or something.
Todd roll.
Welcome to another episode of the 206 Geek Podcast with your host Todd, the 206 Geek.
Yes, I'm your host Todd, the 206 Geek, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of my podcast, the 206 Geek. And today is episode 104, and you know, in the last couple days, a few things have happened. Number one, the release of Bill and Ted Face the Music, which I'll get into that here in a minute. And then, yesterday it was announced that Chadwick Boseman has passed away from cancer at 43. So I definitely want to talk about that, you know, as someone who has lost a loved one to cancer. I didn't know him. I enjoyed his movies. But the fact that he died from cancer has affected me. I mean, you could probably tell I'm getting a bit emotional right now. And I watched Black Panther last night, and I watched Infinity War and Endgame. Those are the ones that I know him from, and I know he's done other movies, and I'm gonna look for them and I'll watch them. You know, I feel for his family. It's a tough thing to go through, losing someone to cancer. Because it's not an overnight thing. It doesn't just happen. You basically watch them deteriorate. They fall apart right in front of your eyes. I watched my mom like become very frail and thin and get so weak that she could not talk. The last time I saw my mother, she was unable to open her mouth. Her mouth was so dry from chemotherapy and everything else going on. She couldn't open her mouth. I could tell. I could tell she wanted to say a few things. But she was unable to. Cancer sucks.
That's all there is to it. I'm sorry. I try to do, like, an entertaining podcast. I try to show, you know, my excitement and my enthusiasm for all things geeky and things that I think are cool. But sometimes I have to get real. Sometimes I have to just show what's happening. You know, it's a lot of people are sharing photos of Chadwick as the Black Panther, and, you know, and showing just, you know, photos of him being around fans. I never got the chance to meet him. You know, I think he might have been one of the people at Ace Comic Con, but I didn't have the money to see that. To stand in line to meet him. He might have been. I could be wrong. Either way, you know, cancer will take the person who has a lot of stress in their life, who doesn't eat well. Combination of the two. I mean, he definitely looked okay. He had a superhero physique. So you couldn't tell he had cancer, because he had been diagnosed with stage 3 cancer in 2015. I'm pretty sure that was before he made the movie Black Panther. Before we saw him play the part of Black Panther. You know? I was talking to someone yesterday about what they said. They thought that Disney should not replace him in the MCU. They should just write his character out of the story. They should just not do Black Panther 2. And I said, you know what? I think they should still do Black Panther 2. If nothing else, as a tribute to him. And, you know, I mean, this is, of course, all depends on whether or not his family is okay with them using, like, unused footage or some other thing that they can put Chadwick into the movie. And I suspect a lot of people think that's not cool. Don't do that. I mean, I think Carrie Fisher was probably the exception to the rule. I think most people don't want to have their dead family members being used as a prop in a movie. You know. Just watching someone waste away like that is it does something to you. I mean, it definitely did something to them, but it does something to their loved ones as well. I'm sorry, guys. I really shouldn't have started talking with that. I should have ended with that at the end of the podcast, but I thought maybe if I just get it out of the way, then we could talk about more things that are not sad or upsetting. You know? I do have a story here from the Nerdist. The title of the story is What Chadwick Boseman Means to Black Culture. You know, I'll go ahead and read that now. Let me increase the size of the font on this right quick. Easily read this without squinting my eyes. Chadwick Boseman's death is causing a global outpouring of love for the accomplished actor. But this heartbreaking news is different for his black fans. For many of us, Chadwick's entire career reads like a love letter to our culture before he became the Black Panther. He starred in a series of biopics about trailblazing black men. His portrayal of baseball legend Jackie Robinson, funk music progenitor James Brown, and groundbreaking Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall brought history to life with a mesmerizing mix of passion, flair, and incredible care for preserving their humanity. Chadwick expertly dug past the general public's larger-than-life understanding of these men to exhume their humanity and frame their lives in the midst of racism. Oh, man. In the midst of racism, tragedy, and triumph. Sorry, I had to grab the charger from my phone. It was letting me know that I was getting ready to die. And that's not taking away from this story. At least I hope not. I don't mean to. And then it goes on saying here, his word represents the breadth and depth of what it means to be black. It examines how we somehow manage to be profound agents of change and creativity under the pressure of oppression and systemic racism. So his casting as the incomparable T'Challa felt like a thrilling yet natural next step in depicting our stories. Chadwick brought such nuance, physical prowess, and exhilarating charm to the Wakandan King. He certainly made a global impact through the popular Marvel character, proving that we already knew to be fact, a black superhero can have international appeal. I'm going to include this link in the show notes so you guys can read the rest of the story. I'm really having trouble reading this now because my tears are welling up too much. I need to take a moment and collect myself and move on to the next story, because the next story is also kind of heartbreaking. All right, so I'm going to close that tab out and move on to the next one here. Leslie Hamilton, Freya's Terminator star, Linda Hamilton's twin sister and stunt double, dies at 63. This is a story that's on comicbook.com. And this is what it says here about Leslie. The identical twin sister of Terminator star Linda Hamilton has died at the age of 63. She appeared in the 1991 Terminator 2 Judgment Day as a stunt double for Hamilton, as well as portrayed the cyborg Sarah Connor. When both the real Sarah played by Hamilton and the T-1000 Terminator that had shifted to look like Sarah were in the same shot. She, who was born on September 26, 1956, in Salisbury, Maryland, died on Saturday, August 23rd, and a cause of death has not yet been revealed. According to the obituary, outside her role working with her sister in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, she also worked as an ER nurse, later transitioning to work as a hospice nurse later in her career. She's described as a consummate caretaker who has devoted who was devoted to not just her children, but the lives of others. She also noted as being an avid fisherwoman. That's awesome. In addition to the scene in which she played the T-1000 version of Sarah, she also appeared in additional scenes in the film, most notably the haunting nuclear apocalypse nightmare scene in which she, who is credited as Leslie Hamilton Guerin in the film, plays the happy Sarah Connor playing on the playground with the young John Connor before the nuclear blast, while the real Sarah Connor watches in horror. She also appeared in a deleted scene in which Sarah and John reset the T-800's CPU. The scene saw her stand by Schwarzenegger while Hamilton is actually seen in the mirror, in a mirror illusion. An example of the film pulling off some interesting visual tricks without using CGI. This is where she stole the film credit. Yeah. Well, she sounds like she had a nice long life. That's awesome. It's sad that she's gone as well, but you know, she had a nice long life. Sounds like, anyway, they didn't have a cause of death, so we don't know if it was, 63, it's still kind of young, but, you know, and I think that, Chadwick also had a pretty cool life too. I mean, he got to play all those great people on film. You know, that's awesome. All right. On to happier stories, not so depressing and not tugging so hard on my emotions. According to comicbook.com, Ryan Reynolds quips Marvel films suffer from an alarming lack of Deadpool. That's funny. This is what it says here. It says, if you're growing impatient over the lack of Deadpool in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you're not the only one. Deadpool himself, the always hilarious Ryan Reynolds, is yet another fan of the character lobbying for him to get back into action as soon as possible. In a new profile-style piece from EW that dives into the New Mutants 20th Century Fox handling of the X-Men franchise, Reynolds responded only as he could. He joked Marvel movies are suffering from not having the merc with the mouth plastered all over the marketing. Yeah, I could see that. Quote, I agree with Martin Scorsese and Francis Ford Coppola that Marvel films suffer from an alarming lack of Deadpool. Reynolds told the magazine, in the unlikely case you have forgotten, both Scorsese and Coppola both have been quite outspoken in their distaste for cape cinema. Going the length to say Marvel movies weren't a legitimate part of cinema. Well, I disagree with both of those guys. As much as I like their movies, they're fucking wrong. You know? you can't say something like that and expect people to not react to it, I think. You know, just it's... This is... Quote, I don't see them. I tried, you know, but that's not cinema. Scorsese told Empire during a press stop for The Irishman last year. Quote, honestly, the closest I can think of them as well made as they are, with actors doing the best they can under the circumstances, is theme parks. It isn't the cinema of human beings trying to convey emotional, psychological experiences to other to another human being. That I disagree with, but you know what? My opinion really doesn't matter to him. He doesn't think they are, but you know, that's fine. He's of the older generation, and I don't see him even picking up a comic book, let alone watching those movies and enjoying them. So, this has turned into a kind of a rehashing of the Coppola in Scorsese thing, and I really don't want to give them any more of my attention. Those guys are assholes as far as I'm concerned. All right. WandaVision star Elizabeth Olsen deactivates her Instagram. Let's find out why. It looks like a lot of people are deactivating their Instagram accounts this week. The latest person to remove themselves from the social media site is Elizabeth Olsen, the actor known for playing Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Many of Olsen's fans have taken to Twitter to share the news of her Instagram departure. Hopefully, we'll see her back online later this year when it comes time to promote her highly anticipated Disney Plus series, WandaVision. While it's unclear why Olsen deactivated her account, many are speculating that she is being bullied for not posting about the death of her Marvel co-star, Chadwick Boseman. As soon as the tragic news broke last night, however, Olsen wasn't a frequent poster and has taken long breaks before. So there's always a chance that she just wanted to remove herself from social media. I get it. I understand that. Maybe that was just easier for her to do than try to explain why she hasn't commented yet. We don't know how she's dealing with this death, you know? We don't know if she had any issue with him or if there was anything going as far as, like, I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas, and I don't know if there was ever any issue between the two or if they even really communicated outside of, you know, the scenes they were together, you know. Who knows? They may not have ever really connected outside of making the movies. And it goes on to talk about the release date for WandaVision. Let's see what it says here. It says, WandaVision, Marvel Studios WandaVision blends the style of classic sitcoms with Marvel Cinematic Universe, in which Wanda Maximoff, played by Elizabeth, and Vision, played by Paul Bettany, two superpowered beings living their ideal suburban lives, begin to suspect that everything is not as it seems. The new series is directed by Matt Shakman. Jack Schaefer is head writer, debuts on Disney Plus this year. Marvel's updated release schedule sees Black Widow dropping in theaters on November 6th. It is followed by Eternals on February 12th, 2021. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings on May 5th, 2021. Spider-Man 3 on November 5th, 2021. Thor, Love and Thunder in February 2022. Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness on March 25th, 2022. Black Panther 2 on May 6, 2022, although that might change now. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Captain Marvel 2 on July 8th, 2022. Disney Plus has also has The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Loki, What If, Hawkeye, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, and Moon Knight on the way. Okay, that's cool. All right, next story to talk about here. Mulan confirmed to be released for all Disney Plus subscribers without extra costs, but when? So I would imagine the initial release is going to cost you extra to be able to watch it. You'll end up basically, I don't know, it sounds like a digital purchase, not a rental, because it's going to be like $30. But I think a lot of people might just go ahead and wait for it to be released as a regular, not costing extra movie on Disney Plus. This is what the article on comicbook.com says. With an ever-changing media landscape due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, Disney is doing what it can to get Mulan safely in front of the masses. As the current plan stands, the House of Mouse is releasing the live-action remake of the animated classic in select theaters wherever they're open on September 4th. Then, on the same day, Disney Plus will start carrying it as a premier access opportunity, meaning subscribers of the service can purchase it for $29.99 and stream it digitally from home. Once purchased, the digital company will remain on the user's Disney Plus account until their subscription expires. Meaning, once the consumer purchases the Mulan Premier Access offering, they'll forever have it until they deactivate their account. At the end of the day, it's also a Disney movie, so eventually it will be available for free as a part of Disney Plus, the Disney Plus library. The question remains, when exactly will free access for Mulan begin? All right. Early Saturday, online outlets began reporting the page for the movie on Disney Plus listing the date of Mulan's free arrival as December 4th. Watch before its release to all Disney Plus subscribers on December 4th, 2020. So, if you don't want to spend $30 on a movie that you won't be able to keep if you ever lose your Disney Plus account or you stop paying for it, just wait to watch it in December. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not in any hurry to watch the live action Mulan. I don't want to spend $30 on a movie that I can watch the original one already for free available on Disney Plus with the original cast and everything. I don't know. I think it's just ridiculous. $30. All right. Got a couple more stories here that are already pulled up, and I may end up looking at my Feedly list for more stories because I'm getting towards the end of all this here. Let's see. Close that tab. And the next story. Bill and Ted 3 star Samara Weaving shares behind-the-scenes content. That's cool. I don't know about you guys, but I watched it yesterday. I loved it. I am so glad I bought this movie. I already shared kind of my initial thoughts, but I didn't really give any detail. I just said, you know what? I'm glad I bought the movie. It cost me $27 to buy the digital, the pre-ordering the digital version of the movie which, you know what? It's a movie that I really wanted to see. It was one of the movies I was looking forward to this year. And, you know, I would love to give you guys a more detailed review of the movie, but I think if I was to start doing that, then there would be spoilers. So, you know, I think what I might just do is I might go ahead and give, you know, I might give you some warning. I might just say spoilers and all that and just start talking about it. But let's see what this story says here first. All right, so this week saw the long-awaited release of Bill and Ted Face the Music, which features Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter reprising their iconic roles for the first time since 1991. The film also starred Samara Weaving and Bridget Lundy Payne as the main characters' daughters. Weaving, who is best known for Ready or Not, took to Instagram this week and shared some fun behind-the-scenes content from her time on the set. That's cool. Let's see here. There we go. All right. Here is the audio from her Instagram post. Hopefully you'll be able to hear it. Not hearing a whole lot, just her walking up. Ooh. She's on the set where they film the climax of the movie. Well, I was rudely interrupted by the recording app deciding, all right, actually it wasn't the app, it was doing it from the website, which is the first time I've used the website to record, and it recorded, I don't know, about 27 minutes worth. I'm going to go in there and kind of clip out the last bit, and what I was talking about is, I was talking about this story of Samara Weaving sharing some behind-the-scenes look at the making of the movie, which is Bill and Ted Face the Music. And I was talking about the people that she showed on camera in this Instagram video. But of course, none of that got recorded because I didn't realize that it wasn't recording anymore. So, see here. There it is. All right, so before I go any further here, as far as I'm going to talk about Bill and Ted Face the Music, I'm going to talk about kind of what happens in the movie. So if you haven't watched it yet and you don't want any spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
All right. All right, so turn that up a little bit. Anyways, so what happens is the guys have not created the song that was going to save the world or on all that, like we thought they did at the end of Bogus Journey. That was a song they did, and it was a huge celebration, and people were all excited and blah, blah, blah. But we find out in this movie that that didn't save everything. It, I mean, it was great. They had a pretty cool rock and roll career, and at some point the band broke up, which basically means that Death left Wild Stallions, went back home, and so we get to see Death in this one, and he's kind of like the
the band member that left the band or quit the band or was fired, whichever, they don't really, they say he left, and they also, he also says that he was kicked out. Like you would see in most, like, band, like, arguments that you see on, like, the news and whatnot. And, so what happened now is that, like, the whole, like, universe is in jeopardy of just kind of poofing out of existence. So they have to create this song that was supposed to save everything before, you know, and they decide to time travel to find when they do record the song. And in the process, they piss off the great ones from the future, and they send a robot to hunt them down, thinking that if they are killed, then that will save the universe. So then we have this robot that looks like a cross between an iPad and a T-1000, or excuse me, a T-800. Or actually probably closer to, like, if the T-800 and Eve from WALL-E had a baby. That's what it looked like. And and he's all like robot, you know, freeze, blah 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 blah. And at some point during the movie, I think it was when he accidentally killed people, he's like, oh shit, oh no. Oh no. It was so funny. Oh my god. He was like, and then he started sounding more human when he's talking. He didn't have the mechanical sounding in his voice. He's like, yeah, I'm sorry. I accidentally killed your family. So then they have to go to hell to save their kids. And Bill's, or Ted's dad, because he got killed too earlier in the movie. And at one point, the robot's like, my name is Dennis. And they're like, oh, okay. Hi, Dennis. Oh my gosh. Love this movie. I'm going to probably watch it again later tonight. It was so funny. Samara Weaving, by the way, she is the niece of Hugo Weaving, so she's Australian. And a couple times in the movie, I heard her Australian accent kind of leak out underneath her pretty decent American accent. But I think with the excitement she was trying to exude in the scenes, a couple words sounded very Australian. But it's not that big a deal, but then I just noticed that little bit of information, I guess. Information is the right word. I noticed it when I watched it the second time around yesterday. And because at that point, I was just, like, looking for Easter eggs in the movie. I will say this. There is a reference to Rufus, and It was pretty cool. I would have liked to have seen more, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm good with what they showed us. It was, you know, and I've already given the spoiler alert warning, you know, so if you've listened this far, I've already spoiled some things in the movie, and I'm going to talk about Rufus for a moment. Number one, the woman you see in the trailer, hello, my excellent friends. She plays the daughter of Rufus. Her name is Kelly. And Kelly Carlin is in the movie as well. I think I found her. She's in there. She's kind of one of the background people in one of the scenes. Kelly Carlin is George's daughter. So naming the fictional character of Rufus's daughter, Kelly, is kind of an homage to him as well. as well as Kelly, his actual daughter. But in one of the scenes where they, when they go to the future, they see the old phone booth time machine kind of like on, like a, on display as a kind of a statue in front of the building. And as they walk past it, the door opens up and a hologram of Rufus walks up, which I think they just used footage from the original movie. Hello, my excellent friends. And then he, as they walk past him, the hologram, he starts saying other things. And I think they got a voice actor to voice match George's voice and said those parts. Which I thought was really cool. I liked that. I was worried that they weren't going to acknowledge the fact that George Carlin wasn't in the movie, or wasn't going to be able to be in the movie, but he technically is in the movie. He's in there as a hologram. He's on the IMDb page as a hologram. So I thought that was really cool. And so, because the guys are off looking for the song that they are going to write that's going to save the universe and everything, the daughters, who are Billy and Theodora, I think, Thea, I think maybe, but they kept referring to themselves as B and T. And they decide when Kelly comes back to the past looking for Bill and Ted, they go, "Where are our dads? Are they okay? We want to help." And Kelly's like, "I got to stay here in case they come back." He's like, "Well, can you show us how this thing works? This is a time machine, right? Show us how it works, and we'll go look for them. And you know, we'll also try to find musicians to help play the music that is going to save the universe." So the first place they went to was a stadium where Jimi Hendrix was playing guitar. The actor playing Jimi Hendrix does a pretty good job of it, I think. Although when he smiles, he looks a lot like the Rock. He sounds like him when he talks, and he has the right mannerisms and stuff that I've seen on TV and in movies. And then, you know, they try to explain to him what they're doing and what they need him for. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm not interested." So then they go back to 1922 and find Louis Armstrong. And because, Thea recorded Jimi Hendrix playing guitar, you know, just straight up like psychedelic guitar playing and shit. She plays that video for Louis Armstrong, and he's looking at the smartphone like, "What the hell is this?" And it plays of it's playing this I don't know if you would call this movie on this little tiny little screen, this thing. And so they talk Louis Anderson into coming back to, I think it was probably like the late 60s for Jimmy, and mid to late 60s. And they tried talking to him again. He's like, "Yeah, I'm still not interested." And he's like, "Well, maybe he'll help you be interested." And they bring out this young Louis Armstrong. He's like, "Yeah, whatever, dude. Louis Armstrong's like in his 60s. That's not Louis." He starts walking away. Louis grabs his trumpet and starts playing something. And Jimmy just like stops mid-step, turns around, and just smiles real big. And then they go into they go even farther back, and they find Mozart. And then they go, Japan and find this lady who plays a really cool flute. I don't remember her name though. And then they go back even farther in time, and then they find this cave person, Neanderthal, whatever. And they're beating on like a drum kit that's made of like, you know, old beat up, like, I think there was like pieces of wood and rocks and skulls and shit. So they got the drummer, they got the guitar player, they got the trumpet player, they got the flute player, and then they have the piano player. And they bring them all to the future. And this is when I talk about the robot. The robot that's hunting down Bill and Ted. They go back to San Dimas, California. They go to the garage where the Wild Stallions record and play and whatever else. They open the garage and the robot's there and he shoots them all and like vaporizes them. They go straight to hell. And my first thought was like, oh no. Well, and then I thought, okay, this is where we go back to hell. This is, you know, then we go see Bill and Ted going into the future. First, like 2 years, then 5 years, and then like many years later. And when they go many years in the future, they see them both in hospice. And Bill, old, like old and dying Bill, hands the younger Bill, who's still not the young Bill, but like the 50s aged Bill, a thumb drive with the song. And then they're like, excellent. And they go outside to go look for the phone booth, and the phone booth is gone because their wives took the phone booth. The old wives that were married to the two old dudes who appear to be in hospice. And so they're like, oh no, what's going on now? And that's when the robot appears and like tells them that he's gonna have to kill them because they hadn't made the song. And he's like, well, we have the song, it's right here in our hands. And like, oh well, oh dear, errors were made. And that's when he tells them about killing their family. And they're like, we need to save our kids. So they break the thumb drive. All right, now you have to send us to hell so we can save our kids. So, and the robot at this point is like having like a mental breakdown. He's like completely freaking out that, oh my God, they're going to save the universe and I killed their kids. And oh my God. And he points his laser gun under his chin. He's going to shoot himself and send himself to hell. Bill and Ted like tackle him when he shoots, and then they all get vaporized. They all go to hell. Yeah, it's, I don't want to give everything away. Just know that it has many moments of just like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. This is hilarious. This is really funny. Even the scene you see in the commercial where they're singing at somebody's wedding, when you know who the wedding is, it makes it even funnier. I'm not going to spoil everything for you guys. You guys need to watch this movie. I recommend going ahead and buying it, especially if you like the first two. Go ahead and buy it. You know, I think at some point the price will come down and it won't be $20 or 19. Because when I bought it, it was $19.99, and then plus taxes and shit, it brought it up to $27, which I thought was kind of, I was like, dude, it costs like, oh man, all in taxes. I don't understand how that worked, but either way, I got it. I own it now. I've watched it a couple times. I'm gonna watch it again. All right, let's go on to these other stories here. I've talked enough about Bill and Ted Face Music. I think you guys should definitely go watch it. And it looks like they've got the next story here is about the character Missy on the animated show, the Netflix animated show Big Mouth. Missy was played by a white actress named Jenny Slate. And they looks like they've got somebody to replace her. And I'm going to see if I can figure out how to pronounce her name properly. Let's see here. Do. there doesn't seem to be. Well, it is. God, I'm going to. I think I'm going to end up butchering this, so I'm going to say right up front. I apologize. Ayo, Edibri, Biri, Edibiri will replace Jenny Slate as Misty on Big Mouth. Let's see if there's like video. Maybe that will give me that will give me the correct pronunciation of her name. Let's see here. All right, come on, please give me video. Not God damn it. Hold on, let's go back here. Try this again. Search Google for well, here's a video of her stand up. Maybe we'll hear her name being announced. All right. Looks like she's a stand-up comedian. Cool. So is Jenny, for that matter. All right, hold on. I need to plug in the speaker.
I lived in New York for the past 6 years, which was a really great place for me to learn that I have absolutely no standards or respect for myself. I lived for the last 3 years with a woman that I met on Craigslist. She was a dog walker. She told me she was 30. She was, say it with me, 48. 48 years old. She was 48, and she lied. But it was cool, actually, because there was laundry in the building. One day, she asked if her parents could stay the weekend. I'm a reasonable roommate. I was like, yeah, of course. No worries.
Okay. She's funny. I'll give her that.
Her shoes are blindingly white.
No introductions to her. That's awesome. I was trying to find a way to have someone say, this is this person's name. Ayo Edibiri. And I'm pretty sure I'm Ayo is the first name. Edibiri is the last name. All right. Here is Here's the Wikipedia page for them. Let's see if it actually gives a oops. What was that? Probably my computer making noise. Well, either way, I'm not seeing how to pronounce the name properly. So I apologize. Either way, so this is the story here. Putting its money where its mouth is, Netflix is following through on recasting Jenny Slate in Big Mouth. a couple of months ago, as much of the animation industry reckoned with its regular tendency to cast non-black actors to voice black characters, Janie Slate, who previously voiced the black character Missy on the Netflix Big Mouth, publicly stepped away from the role now, as revealed by Variety. Actress, writer, and comedian, Ayo, will be taking it on. Quote, "I was definitely a very uncomfortable child, so I think the show speaks to that and a lot of those feelings, which still resonate with me as an adult," she said in an interview with Variety. "I'm back at home in my childhood bedroom right now, and on my bookshelf in between a series of unfortunate events is Bill Clinton's autobiography and Nelson Mandela's autobiography, and a translation of the Iliad I had in Latin. I was a true dork, so I don't think I have to go too far to connect with Missy." The show, helmed by Andrew Goldberg and Nick Kroll, will be handling the transition to the new voice in a novel way. While Slate will voice Missy throughout most of the as-of-yet-unreleased fourth season, Ayo will take on the role in the season's finale episode in what is a really cool and organic place, said Goldberg. So that's cool. That's cool. All right. And I think the last story I have here is... Elon Musk holds demo for brain implant. Internet isn't too thrilled. Yeah. I don't want to be like... I don't want to be like Data from Star Trek. I don't want to turn into a Borg either. This is what it says here. During a presentation on Friday, billionaire entrepreneur Elon Musk unveiled more details about his mysterious neuroscience company Neuralink by revealing a development that feels like it could have come straight out of an episode of Black Mirror or the Twilight Zone, but yeah. A coin-sized implantable device that inserts electrode threads into the brain. Musk's presentation didn't come with theoretical concepts either. The event showcased some real-time neural signals from a pig named Gertrude, who had one of the devices, which Musk described as a Fitbit for your skull, already implanted. Already I'm feeling a bit uneasy about this. Oh my god, no, this is what science fiction movies are made of right here. This is like it's like nobody learned from watching Terminator 2 or Terminator 1 or, you know, Star Trek The Next Generation with the Borg. Resistance is futile. None of that. This is ridiculous. Oh my god. Oh man. However, while Musk played up the various conditions that could be treated with a Neuralink device, such as seizures, paralysis, brain damage, depression, and more, conditions that Musk said can all be solved with an implantable Neuralink. Musk also noted that he has bigger plans for the device. Musk explained that He sees the device as being able to allow humans to keep up with artificial intelligence as a brain-computer interface meant for consumers. No. You know, No, what is wrong with him? Oh, my God. You know, I don't know what else to say. Other than I think it's a mistake. And if you want to read the rest of this, there's only like a couple more paragraphs. I'm not going to read any more because I've already read enough. The links will be in the show notes. And hope you guys had a great weekend. I can tell you that my weekend was filled with mixed emotions. I had a great time watching Bill Attend Face the Music. I had a horrible time dealing with the death of someone who I've never met, because it brought up some old feelings about people that I did know that have passed away. I am also helping my cousin Marianne record their first episode. Her and her friend, actually he's my friend too, Jamal, are going to record their first episode this weekend, this last weekend. As of this recording, it hasn't happened yet. They're going to be recording it tomorrow on Sunday, the 30th. But I think the first episode for their show will be available on Tuesday, the 1st. So I will be posting links to where you can find their podcast. You can go to... set up a website. The website is Not About You Pod. That's the letter U, notaboutyoupod.com, and that will take you to where you can listen to the podcast. It's Not About You, the letter, and not the word U, but the letter U. Not About You, the letter U, pod.com. I know, I probably should have spelled it out, but I wanted to keep it uniform with all the social medias, which are also the same, Not About You Pod. And you can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and I'm working on getting an Instagram account, but that may not happen, because Instagram is awesome. I was having trouble signing in, and then it got locked, so trying to set up an account for them. I think what we'll do is they both have Instagram accounts. They have for their other things that they do, which is comedy. And if you want to follow them on their Instagrams, Marianne is Marianne R Comedy is her Instagram. And you know what? I'm drawing a blank on Jamal's. But I will be, like I said, I'll get that information. And we'll put it on their Facebook page, which is just facebook.com/notaboutyoupod. That's the letter U, not the word U. And thanks again for listening to my show. And if you really like the show, please share it with people. That's the easiest way. That is the one that doesn't cost anything. Share it with people. Say, check this guy out. This is why I like listening to this podcast. You can go to, I have it set up to go to my Podchaser account. If you go to 206geek.com, it should take you to the Podchaser page. On that page, there you can rate and review the podcast. If you're an Apple user, give the podcast a rating and a review within the podcast app. Every time someone rates and reviews the podcast, it makes the podcast more visible to other people looking for something to listen to. So that would be great if you guys did that. The other thing you can do, if you really like the podcast and you want to support the podcast, go to support.206geek.com and become a supporter. If you become a supporter of the podcast, I will give you a shout out on every episode. And, you know, it's between 99 cents and 9.99. So there's three options there to choose from. Not that expensive, but that helps the podcast. If I get enough supporters, I will hire somebody to help get guests on the show. I will hire someone to maybe edit the show so it doesn't sound like I record in my bedroom, which I do. So thanks again, and I will talk to you guys next time. And now is the part of the show where I like to thank those who support the podcast. And if you also want to become a podcast supporter, you can go to support.206geek.com. Thank you, Leanne P., for your support. There are a couple of different ways you can support the podcast. One is by rating and reviewing the podcast by going to rate.206geek.com. The other way you can help the podcast is by going to support.206geek.com and become a podcast supporter. If you support the podcast in that way, you will get a shout out on every episode. And as always, if you want to see any of the stories that I talked about, you can go to notes.206geek.com and you'll see the notes for the current episode listed there. That's notes.206geek.com.